Welcome. We're so glad that you're here with us, and we just love gathering together. We love being part of church together. We love doing this, singing songs to Jesus together, doing community together, doing mission in our city and our island and beyond together. It's just a great place to be. And so if you're new here, welcome so much. Welcome to you. We actually have a great day for you to hopefully get yourself connected even more into this community right off the bat. And so at the end of the service, I just want to prep you already. It's team Sunday. So at the end of the service, I'm going to direct your attention in a new direction that you might be able to find a spot to serve today, find a spot to get involved in this church today, because we really believe that Christianity is more than just Sunday. It's more than just gathering here in this moment and singing some songs and hearing from a preacher and doing all that. Though that's a really important part of all of our journey, it's important for us to gather like this. We value it. We like it. It's nice to see your face. I hope it's also nice to see mine sometimes. But we really believe there's something more than just Sunday. And we want to be friends outside of here. We want to be connected outside of here. We want to believe in Jesus outside of here because he's in your workplace. You know, his spirit's with you as you step into your family, as you step into family dynamics, which are sometimes good, sometimes bad. Whatever you're facing in life, we really believe that God isn't just in this spot, you know, when you come on a Sunday morning, but he's all over throughout your life. And so we want to encourage you to get yourself plugged in here. But we're doing this series called The Dead of Winter. And I'm so glad it's cold today. I thought of how awkward it would be if we started a series called Dead of Winter, and it's like sun and daffodils are popping up everywhere. Like, everyone's frolicking along. By the way, Ryan, I love your frolicking in the new announcement videos. But it would have been really awkward, but it's cold. It was -8 this morning. Did you know that? When I got out of my house, maybe you slept in past the -8, but when I got out of my house, it was -8 this morning, and that was too chilly for me, actually. But we're in the winter, and maybe it doesn't feel like necessarily the dead of winter to you, and sometimes what we do in the Comox Valley or on the island is we like to tell the rest of Canada how great our winter is here. Have you ever done that? Anyone have some friends in Alberta or Saskatchewan, or Ottawa this year, you know, like some of those places, or East Coast? It's just like, I actually remember my old lead pastor, his family lived out in Winnipeg, and they sent him a picture of this crazy cold day, and they're out shoveling the snow, and he sends them a picture back, and he goes out with his snow shovel, he's shoveling cherry blossoms off his driveway. So we love to do that in our city, but I remember doing that with when Pastor Alan and Bernine first came out here to check out our city. And they're from Alberta, and it's cold, and Alberta winters are usually pretty chilly, at least where they were. It was pretty chilly. And I said, oh, you're going to love it out here. Like, the West Coast, like, winter, we barely get any snow. It's just amazing. And we all think that in our minds, you know. We all think that we have the most incredible winters. And so, like, this is going to be great. And so they come from this beautiful blue skies and beautiful white snow and cold, but it's amazing. They show up here like, oh, we can't wait. I think they think they're going to be in the tropics or something, and they show up and the rain is just like, and the wind was blasting. I'm like, isn't this amazing? Like, it's nasty. And we get these like how many times have we had the power go out in this church? Like, one of the first events I was a part of here at this church in the winter. It's like, this is going to be an amazing event. Power out. Like, what? And that's our winter. The wind blasts, the rain comes hard at us. The power's often going out. The gray skies. Come on, does anyone just love a little bit of blue sky once in a while? Oh, it just feels good, right? And the rest of Canada often gets some blue skies, and we're like, it's so great here. We're all sad and upset, but it's amazing. There's no snow. Like, what? Like, our winters are hard as well. And it's also like trickery, the winter for us, because early January in my garden, stuff started sprouting up. I don't know about yours, but stuff starts coming up like, no, 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 no. It's not spring yet. Stay down. It's going to get cold. And it did. And so some of us in January are like, this is awesome. We're about to hit summertime. And then the snow comes and the cold comes and the rain comes back and the power outages and all this stuff. Winter's hard. And winter just keeps going, it seems like sometimes. I don't know if you have a family with kids in it, or maybe you don't, but you still had the flu season hit you. Come on, anyone? No? No one's feeling my pain on that one? Oh, the flu season or the cold season, it just comes like everyone's just blasted. Like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. And then finally, like everyone's getting better and somehow one of your kid's friends is like nasty sick and your kid comes home and they get nasty sick again and the cycle starts all over again. Boom, 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 boom. Everyone dropping down. The cold season, the flu season, sometimes it's just like, can we get to summer already? You know, can we get past this already? And I really believe that God wanted to speak to us in this season about not just the winter season in our city and in our neighborhoods and in our country, but the winter season of the soul. How sometimes it's the same kind of thing that our winter season can be heavy in our soul. That it feels like everything that just starts to die down. That what was once vibrant, you know, the bushes and the plants and the trees and the flowers and the birds singing, all of that turns into just death. It just turns into, all of the vibrancy is pulled out. Sometimes we walk through seasons within our faith where the vibrancy is just sucked out of our faith. It feels like there's just no life there. There's just no hope there. There's no excitement there. There's no passion. What once excited us seems to not excite us anymore. That the vision that we once had seems to get pulled back from us at some point where we used to dream. Now we don't seem to be dreaming anymore. Where it used to be we opened our Bible and revelations were flying at us. Now we open it and it's a grind to get through a chapter. You know, we go through these winter seasons. And sometimes it comes from life circumstances and real situations that are heavy and hard and difficult. And sometimes it comes for who knows why. We're just in them. We're just stuck in them. We're just kind of there. Our souls feel heavy. They feel hopeless in some ways. Our souls just feel less excited and our faith just seems less vibrant. The winter of the soul sometimes sets in. And we can feel like we're walking in the dead of winter. Psalm 42, 5, David says this, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" What's going on inside of me? What's happening inside of my soul? What's happening inside of my heart? Where did all the vibrancy and the life and the hope and the joy, where did it all go? Why are you so downcast, soul? Why does it feel like the gray clouds of the Comox Valley are covering over you? Why does it feel like you can't see the sun anymore? Why does it feel like you're locked in on winter? What is going on with my soul? David, though, in that moment says, "But put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You know, the good news for us is that if your soul feels heavy, if you feel like you're in the dead of winter in your soul, if you feel like it's just weighty in your life, like the vibrancy is not there as much, I have good news, and that's that most people in the scriptures felt the same way at some point or another. Most people battled a similar thing. And sometimes what we do is, as church people, is we try to pretend that our soul is just perfectly happy. And we go home and it feels heavy and we can't answer what's going on. And why do I feel disappointed? And why do I feel like there's just a weight on my soul? And we come to church and we go, "But everything's good. I'm happy. Jesus died on the cross so my soul is saved." And we just can't, our emotions aren't agreeing with what we're saying. We're trying to convince ourselves that something's going on because we think, no, I can't go into that place. The winter in my soul can't happen. I'm not allowed to have that in my life. That's not a Christian thing. But when we look through the Bible, we see that there's many moments where these amazing godly people had these heavy moments in their life, these seasons of the soul that feel like winter, that feel like they're not getting better, that feel like they're not as hopeful. And we're going to be looking at those for the next little while. I remember when I was doing a run as a little kid, and I don't know how old I was, somewhere in the elementary grades, and there was this like community park event, and there's this race, and I signed up for my age group, and it was the best, and I go to run, and right off the start, I get tripped, I fall, and blah, blah, I lose the run right off the bat, and my mom's cheering on the side, yeah, good job, Evan. I'm like, I'm trying to, did someone clap for that? We love those moms, right? Like, I still cheer for you even though you're terrible. Anyways, I'm coming off and I remember, like, I'm supposed to be happy. I should be happy still. It doesn't matter if I win, right? And I'm running over to my mom with my smile and starts crying. I feel like sometimes that's where we're at. And we can't be honest with what's happening in our soul. What's taking place in this season, in this time. And since we see so much of that in Scripture, we're going to talk for the next 4 weeks about the four things I want you to stop doing in that season. Four things I want you to stop doing in that season of the soul. Four things that I feel like Scripture teaches us to stop doing in that season. Though that season will come, and though you may be in that season, I want to suggest to you that there are four things that maybe you should stop doing in that season that's probably making that season worse or last longer or feel heavier or whatever it might be. I want to encourage you towards these four things to stop doing. The first one that we're going to talk about today is I want you to stop isolating yourself. Stop facing it alone. Stop saying, I guess no one else probably feels this way, and I must be the only one, and no one would understand because no one's ever felt this, and everyone else is always happy and good and passionate and dreaming big, and their faith is strong, and they believe everything that they say, and they go to church, and they're overcoming and their challenges and their difficulties and all of this stuff, and so there's no one to talk to. No one is in the same spot as me. No one's facing the same things as me. No one would understand, and I'm just going to carry on my own, and maybe, I don't know, but maybe I'll just get out of this at some point. Maybe I'll just get out of this slump at some point. Stop isolating yourself. Like, you know how winter isolates us physically from one another, right? Where most of us aren't outside nearly as much. In summer, we're all out and chatting. You know, my neighbors, I seem to see them more in the summer because we're mowing the lawn, or we're doing the garden, or we're just seeing each other over the fence, or we're just outside a little bit more. In the winter, the rain comes, and you either drive into your garage and go, or you pull up to your parking spot, and you just sprint into your house so you don't get soaked. You just isolate yourself a bit more in the winter. But in the winter of our soul, we have the same tendency. I want to tell you, stop doing that. We're going to look at two Bible characters today, both who had a winter. Both who face different winter moments in their soul, who face dark times, who face sort of depressing times in their soul, and they learned in these moments not to do it alone. First one is a guy named Elijah. Elijah's this powerful prophet from the Old Testament. And Elijah had this incredible moment where he had just had a face-off with 450 prophets of other gods. And Elijah's this guy who stands for God Yahweh, the God of Israel. And there he was on this mountaintop. He challenges all these other prophets and says, hey, let's call on our God. You call on your gods, I'll call on my God. Let's see whose God is powerful and answers with fire. And so he's just had this moment. And he says to them in that time, I'm the only one who stands for this God. You've got all of you. I've just got me, and yet my God is still strong enough. And so as the story goes, you can read about it, God answers with fire. And all of the prophets are killed that were serving those other gods. So after that, the queen finds out, Jezebel. She finds out about the story, and she writes Elijah a nice letter, says, you're dead. And Elijah runs away. He runs away and he stops at this one spot. In 1 Kings 19, 3-4, it says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, into isolation, into greater greater loneliness, into the space where he thought only he could be because there was no one like him. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Talk about a winter season of the soul. Talk about that moment where you're now I've wandered into the wilderness. I'm physically on my own, but I feel spiritually on my own. I feel emotionally on my own. I feel mentally on my own. I'm stuck in this wilderness. Lord, would you just take me? I'm done fighting. He's literally coming off one of the greatest, most incredible moments with God we've seen. He's coming off one of the greatest spiritual highs. Yesterday he was saying, yeah, I'm the only prophet and I'm my God is big enough. And today he's saying, I'm the only prophet and I can't believe it. Crazy how sometimes the biggest victories don't mean that you're going to walk in months of victory or years of victory. Sometimes the greatest victories lead the next day to the winter in the soul. And all of a sudden, we're feeling the weight and the heaviness, and he's sitting there in that place. At that point, this angel comes and says, come on, get yourself ready, get moving. You got to get going. You've got a journey ahead of you. And Elijah keeps wandering deeper and deeper into isolation until he ends up in a cave. And then God comes up to him and says, what are you doing here? In 1 Kings 19, 14 to 16, what are you doing here? He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord Jesus, or Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. He says, there's no one else. It's just me. No one would understand what I'm going through, God. No one would be able to deal with the situation. No one would be able to handle it. I'm the only one left, and now they're going to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. See, God's got a plan for Hazael that you're not going to be on your own. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi. See, God's got a plan for Jehu. No, Elijah, you're not alone. I've got Jehu also king over Israel. And anoint Elisha. I've also got an Elisha for you, Elijah. You're not on your own. There's other people that are part of my plan that I'm actually going to send you to, and I'm readying them now. Son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. He tells them what's going to happen, and then he says this, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Elijah's like, I'm the only prophet left for you, God. No one else is there. Everyone else has given themselves over, or else they've been killed, and there's no one left. And there in that cave, in that winter of the soul, he felt like no one knew his battle. No one knew his struggle. No one knew what he was facing. No one was worth talking to. I just better die because I'm the last one left. And God says, you're not the last one left. I've got 7,000. I've got 7,000 who know what you're walking through. But you're too isolated to see it. You're stuck in a cave. So God says, go back the way you came. Don't wander into this cave. Wander back into community. Wander back into the recognition that God's got other people. Wander back into the space where others exist that you can rely on. Don't sit in a cave during the dead of winter, during your darkest moments. During your greatest challenges, don't find the cave. Try to sort it out yourself. 2 Timothy 4, 9 to 12 and 16 to 18, there's this other guy named Paul. And Paul's in the New Testament, and he's this follower. We've heard a lot about Paul in the last little while, but he's this follower of Jesus, and he starts as this person who persecutes anyone who believes in Jesus, but then he meets Jesus and starts living his life, following him, walking with him, telling people about him, getting run out of towns because of him. And Paul lives this amazing life. Well, eventually, he's put in prison on multiple accounts. He's stoned nearly to death on multiple accounts. He's shipwrecked, he's whipped, he's kicked out of cities, he's beaten. All of this stuff has happened. And this one moment, he's in the dead of winter. He's in a dark season of his soul, and he's stuck in prison. Elijah was in a cave. Here's Paul in a prison. And here's what he asks. He's writing his friend Timothy. He says, do your best to come to me quickly. I think some of us probably need to write that letter once in a while. Hey, could you just come to me? Could you just come be with me? Could you just come sit with me? Could you come just be beside me? What? Why? Was Paul weak? You know, was he not filled with the Spirit? Was he not powerful enough to walk this one out? Could he not pray this one through? What's wrong with Paul? Why was he so weak that he had to ask for other people? Why didn't he just carry on? Why didn't he just pray a little harder? Why didn't he have a little more faith? No, Paul, one of the heroes of our faith, Paul, who wrote half the New Testament that now has become the book that we follow and learn, Paul, who led thousands to Jesus, Paul, who was martyred for the faith, Paul, who's in the dead of winter, says, I need my friends. I need someone to come sit beside me. I need Timothy. He says, do your best to come to me quickly. And here's why. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, Paul is still sitting there saying, I'm in prison and I'm in the dead of winter and I'm in a broken space and I'm in a lonely space and I don't exactly know where to go with this. And in the midst of this, I know the Lord is going to deliver me. You asking to get out of isolation, you deciding to pull people into your challenge, you deciding that your friends should be part of what you're facing, doesn't say I don't believe God can help me. I don't believe God wants to do anything. I don't believe God can deliver me, or I don't even believe God wants me here. All it's saying is, I want my friends. I just want some people with me. God has given me relationships, friendships, community, people around that can help me through this process. And maybe they're not going to have the best advice. Maybe they're not going to have everything I need. Maybe they're not going to have all of the answers. But I want in this time to know I'm not alone. Paul says, everyone else has deserted me. They've all gone their own way, and now I'm in prison. I've been living for Jesus, and now I'm stuck in prison. And you know, this sense could be easily that you'd start to feel like, Lord, did I do something wrong? Did I do something I shouldn't have done? I'm in prison. Should I not have led people to you? Should I not have talked about you? Should I not have done those things? And now the people who were friends with me, they're all leaving. I must have done something wrong if all of these Christians are not wanting to stand beside me now and they don't even want to associate with me. And so he's reaching out to Timothy saying, Timothy, I'm still standing in the spot where I believe God is going to deliver me, but I could use someone around to remind me that probably I'm still in the right. Probably Jesus is still alive. Probably something still good is going on. Timothy, could you just come? Could you just come? Come be with me, Tim. Come walk with me, Timothy. Come stand beside me, Timothy. Paul, we know from the story, Paul's very close to being martyred at this moment. Paul's about ready to be to go and have his life ended because of his faith. And probably knowing that, he's just like, he just wants someone close by. Does he not believe in heaven? Of course he believes in heaven. Does he not believe in eternal life? Of course he believes in eternal life, but he just wants his friend. I really believe some people in this room need to hear that today. Need to hear that your battle, your journey, the winter years, maybe months, maybe weeks, days, that winter season in your soul is not meant to be one walked in isolation. That you're not meant to, it's not that your faith is stronger if you can walk it on your own. Sometimes we get that sense. stand up, pray harder, go more, be more passionate. You go back, dream for what you dreamt for before, find the passion, read the Bible. You're not reading enough of the Bible. You're not doing enough. Get to church more, tithe more, do all of these things. Then you'll get past this thing. You'll move on and just believe for it and just trust and just get after it. But only if your faith is stronger than Paul's or stronger than Elijah's would God say to you, do this on your own, and yours isn't. Paul was killed for his faith after he started many churches and saw many come to Jesus in many different seasons. And he walked in all of these different cities and saw all of this stuff. And yet still he wants a friend in his greatest season of darkness. It's okay for you to want a friend. For you to want someone by you. In fact, I would say it's biblical. For you to want a friend in your hardship. In your challenge, I want you to start seeking that out. I want to pray for you today, and then in a few minutes we're going to actually lead into a portion of our service that we're calling Team Sunday, and there are a couple things that we do as a church that we try to connect people in, and one of them is small group and one of them is team, because we want to create space for you to have friends. Because Paul in this moment, when he's in jail, he's not like blitzing the city. Hey, anyone want to be my friend? You know, I'm pretty easy to be friends with. You come. I'm going to talk to you about the Lord. I'm going to cry a bit. It's going to be challenging and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a heavy load for you to carry. But anyone want to be my friend? Some of us wait until we're in a hard time to start making friends. Don't do that. You're probably not going to make any friends in your hardest times. You make your friends in the good times, and then in the hardest times, they're still there. They still walk with you. When you don't need them, make them. So that when you need them, they're there. So I want to encourage you as you have an opportunity here. We have 600 people come through this church every week. If you can't make a friend here, you're probably not trying. You're probably not being kind. You should maybe see if you smile ever. Because there's 600 people here. And I want to encourage you. And you might say, well, they don't want to be friends with me. And they're always, and we always get in that spot. They don't seem to be very kind to me. So we're walking around like this, and you're like, I wonder who's going to be nice to me. Like, I'm going to see who's the nice person. No one's nice. Big surprise. There's the church isn't nice again. And we walk out with our furrowed brow that never changes. Come on, God wants you to have friends so that when you're walking through the winter of your soul, they're there. He wants to give you that gift. So I want to encourage you towards team and towards small group. But I just want to pray for you quick. Would you just allow yourself in this moment, if you're just sitting there and saying, I need some friends. That's an honest thing. Because many of us have a relationship, we have coworkers, we have people around, but we have people that we talk to, people that we hang out with a lot. But do you have someone right now that if you were about to hit your lowest tomorrow, that you'd call? Do you have someone that tomorrow, if you hit the greatest dark season in your life, do you know who you'd call, and do you know that they would come? Because if not, I just want to pray that you'd make some friends. That you'd find some people of kindred hearts. People who want to walk with you and do life with you, that you would also learn how to be kind, learn how to be friendly, so you can make friends. Because I really believe that God wants to give you that gift for the greatest winter seasons of your soul. So if you just allow me to pray for you, I just want to pray for you. Maybe you just want to bow your head, just want to close your eyes. Funny how in this time when we have more social media, more connections than ever, we feel more isolated than ever. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would make us friendly people. First of all, as a church, would you just let us to be friendly people? And when people show up to church, that this would be a place marked by friendliness. And that as we all choose to be friendly, Lord, I pray that it would be easy for friendships to start up. That there wouldn't be a bunch of people looking to see who's not going to treat them nicely, and in so doing, they're not treating people nicely. But Lord, we would be a place full of people assuming the best of one another, assuming that we all want to start relationship, that we all want friendships, we all want those connections, we all want to experience that gift that you might give. We all want the Timothys who we'd call in the darkest seasons of our life. Lord, help us to take advantage of all the things around this church that we wouldn't ever walk in isolation, that we wouldn't have to stand alone. But instead, Lord, I just pray for those who feel like they haven't had to build relationship or haven't needed it or haven't wanted to push for it. Jesus, would you just help them recognize today that there may come a day in the future, maybe it's sooner than they even think, where they're going to need that friend. Lord, help them to now engage in that. Jesus, I just pray for this church that you would help us be community. Help us be in relationship. Help us walk together. Wouldn't be a church that just relies on the pastor, says, Pastor, will you be our friend? Lord, that this would be a church where everyone is able to make some close relationships with someone. Lord, it sometimes feels like a strange thing to pray for. And yet, God, we see the importance of it in the heroes of the Bible. So Jesus, just help us. In your name we pray. Amen.